And I won't speak for Brother James, but if I had to guess, I don't think Brother James thinks that everybody in this church is lost. But there is a problem with all the saved people in the church when it comes to the lost. And I need to step up, Brother Josh. And the Lord showed me something. And I want to say we have been given a faith that won't fail. May we contend and keep our eyes upon the faith, because it's important. I want to encourage you. We've been given some instruction today. You know, we make jokes and everything back and forth. And me and Roger Talby was joking around. He said Connie's roof was real stout because the preacher walked all over that roof and didn't fall through. And we all chuckled, like some of you's chuckling too. I'm going to write it down. But he was joking around. Can I say something? We've all got fat lifestyles in the United States of America. We do. And we got a fat Christian lifestyle. We're spoiled, Brother Miller. We're spoiled. And I need to push away from the table and thank God I didn't have another pound there. I would have fell through Sister Connie's roof. But can I say something? We don't get fat spiritually by staying at the table. We get fat by being in the field laboring. I made a joke and said fat in every connotation in the scripture is complementary to the person. But it wasn't dealing with their physical. It was dealing with their spiritually. I want to say this. You failed. But it's not final. Because if you're saved, we got a faith that won't fail. I want to take some scripture. And if you'll pray for me. And you say, and I had no idea. I said, if we go long, as long as the Lord's in it, it's going to be good. If you're here and you want out in 45 minutes, I'm not saying this to be mean, you've got the wrong idea about the Lord. I'm not saying you got the wrong idea about church, you got the wrong idea about the Lord. And may I say this, I grew up around horses a little bit. I don't know as much as Brother Junior and Brother Larry probably. They've been around it longer than me and Brother Tony. I grew up around them though. I know a little bit. I know some things about how not to get stepped on when you're leading. Brother Junior, know a little bit thing about getting on a horse that's never been broke, bareback. My grandpa threw me on one, said, Jason, need you to get this horse used to somebody. I mean, I wasn't a 16, 17-year-old kid. I was a young kid. But my grandpa was there to help me. And when things went bad, there was somebody there to help me up. Can I say this? If you're saved, you're not alone. There's somebody there to help you up. But when you dust off, you got to get going. Brother James, we've got to get going. I told you Luke chapter number 22. I'm going to start reading at verse number 31. A faith that will not fail. A faith that will not fail. And this is what the scripture says. If you got Luke chapter 22, say amen. If you need more help, look off the person next to you that says amen. Verse 31 says, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come to you one more time. Thank you, Lord Father, for the songs. Thank you for what Brother James, Lord, you had him share with us, Lord Father, and Sister Wu singing that song. Lord God, I'm thankful, Lord. I ain't going to lie. I'm glad we're not meeting in the bathroom. God, we got air conditioning. We got padded pews, Lord Father. We got ceiling fans. We got lights. Ain't got security guards or prison guards or police outside our door. Lord, it may come. But Lord, right now we don't have it. But Lord, what we need to have right now, Lord Father, is an ear to hear what you have to say. And Lord, they need to have something to hear. So Lord, I'm asking you to touch me one more time. Forgive me where I failed you, Lord. And help me, Lord Father, to be the preacher you want me to be. May I surrender and submit myself into your hand and into your power. Lord, to say everything that I ought to say and not say the things I ought not to say. Lord, that I not be brash and obnoxious, Lord, in my preaching. But Lord, you'd preach me the way that I ought to preach, even if it's just quiet. Lord, I don't have to holler and hoop and yell. I just want to preach the way you want me to preach. But Lord, Father, I also want our hearts to be open to hear.
exactly what you have to say. Lord Todd, the time is fastly slipping away, and we're supposed to redeem the time for the days they are evil. And Lord, there's people who need us, and Lord, as we need you. And now, Lord, Father, we give all the praise and glory unto thee, and in your Son's sweet, precious name we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. I do covet your prayers, but as we said, a faith that will not fail. A faith that will not fail. Here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 22, we find where Jesus has been with the disciples. He's with them. They're eating the Passover feast and all those things. Judas has already gone off to betray the Lord and Savior with 30 pieces of silver. All these things are going on. We find ourselves reading about Peter in this familiar situation. And may I say this, these scriptures, I've been having a tendency, and I'll say this, it's good to read your Bible and over and over and over and over again. The reason there's certain things, Brother Josh, that God brings out that you just sometimes don't see before. May I say there's three people mentioned in these verses here. There's three people that's very important because the names, one name could be interchangeable, but we've got Simon's name, we've got Satan, and we've also got the Savior. Three people, three individuals that's mentioned in these scriptures. And it's like that's how our life is. We've got ourselves, we've got the Lord, and we've got Satan. May I say this? A lot of folks may not realize this, but your life, that's exactly what it is. In the life, I'll say, when I was lost, I thought about this as a scripture, as the Lord was revealing it to me. When I was lost, it was like I was in the middle, and the Lord was on one side, and Satan was on the other side. I have found in my saved life that since I've been saved, there's times it feels like there's the Lord on one side and Satan on the other side. Remind me of Zechariah chapter number 3, where the Bible says Joshua the high priest, the Lord was communing with him and Satan was at his right side trying to deny him and try to be a stumbling block. But I'm glad in Zechariah chapter number 3, Brother Josh, the Lord told Satan to shut his mouth. And the Lord looked at Joshua and said, your garments are filthy and your garments are rags. He said, take those filthy rags off of him and give him some brand new clean rags. Can I say this? I'm glad there's been times in my life. Was it me in the middle? I'm glad there's been times in my life where it was Jason and the Lord was in the middle standing between me and old Satan. Can I say this today? If you're saved, I know there's times it seems like every day of our life there's a battle pulling us in every direction. But friend, when our faith lines up and stays focused upon the Lord, the dynamics will change and the Lord will stand in the middle and fill up that gap when Satan's trying to tug and to pull and to grab and to destroy you. Friend, can I say this? That the Lord is always there. May we be reminded in this scripture. I hope you kept your Bibles open. The Bible says, the Lord said, and can I say, I'm so thankful that the Lord's still speaking today. He spoke unto Peter, or Simon, as is known, Simon Peter in the scriptures. But he spoke unto the Lord. May I say this? We don't have a shortage on the Lord speaking. He still speaks today. And may I say this? When the Lord speaks, we need to sit up and take notice. We need to stop and think about what the Lord should say or what we want to hear him to say. But when the Lord starts speaking, we need to sit up and open up our ears and take notice. And can I say this from the depth of my heart? And I hope this doesn't sound obnoxious, Larry, but the Lord is speaking quite often a lot of times. And a lot of times people don't like how he speaks through. But friend, can I say this? When the Lord speaks, it's not about the person who's doing the speaking. It's about the one who is speaking. Somebody say amen right there. The Lord will speak. I'm glad that he spoke unto Peter. The Lord said, I'm glad. When there's things that we ought to do. As I said, there's never been a shortage of the Lord speaking. But in Hebrews chapter number 2 and verse number 1, it said we got to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Lest at any time let them slip. And can I say in the day's day and time, I had to admit there's some things that I have let slip. The importance to take the time to listen. The importance to take time to take heed. The importance to give the most attention unto the Lord when he does speak, and not only to take attention to him, but if we'll keep those things in our heart, if we'll apply them in our life, the slipping and the tripping becomes a whole lot fewer as we walk through the days of our life. Am I hearing the preacher this morning? Can I say I'm glad that the Lord's still speaking? I'm glad the Lord also knows my name. He said, Simon, Simon. Can I say this? I'm glad the Lord knew Simon's name, but I'm glad he knows my name. Samantha Faulkner, I don't have to worry about if I know if the Lord knows my name. He's called my name once before, but it wasn't a one-time shot deal. He's been calling my name ever since. Brother Millard, I'm glad he knows my name. I know it may seem simplistic, and I know it may seem something simple and small, but it should thrill our hearts and still amaze us that the Lord knows our name. And not only knows our name, that he speaks our name. And can I say he was speaking Simon's name? He said, Simon, Simon. He's trying to get his attention. He's trying to have him sit up and take notice. He said, stop, stand still, Simon. Focus yourself on what I'm supposed to be saying to you. Focus yourself on the words that I'm going to give you something, because what I'm saying is very important and very serious. I know at times I'll say, sit up, pay attention, look at your pastor, and I'll snap my fingers, look at the preacher, and snap my fingers. It's not me who's given the instruction. It's the Lord giving the instruction. It's the Lord who's doing the speaking, and he's telling Simon, he said, Simon, Simon. He said his name twice. That means there's the utmost importance on something he's about to say to Simon, and Simon needs to sit up and take listen and hear what the Lord has to say. And I know it may seem kind of standoffish or bothersome people, but oftentimes the Lord, when he speaks, just because we don't hear it doesn't mean we ain't accountable for it. Because Brother Eddie, if our ears ain't open, that's our responsibility. I've paid too many whippings from the Lord. I've had too much chastisement from the men because my ears was not open unto what the Lord has to say. Y'all hear the preacher? Can I give you an example? There's a guy that always talks to me at work, and I was talking to him, and Brother Tony, I looked at him, began to say something to him about what was going on at work, and he wasn't paying attention, so I threw out a little test to see if he was listening. I said, we was outside weed eating with a bush hog on top of a Ford pickup truck that was built by Porsche and Lamborghini, put it all together. That guy's just sitting there looking at his phone, looking. He was acting like he was paying attention. He had no idea what I was saying. Can I say this? We may sit in the house of God, or maybe somewhere else and hear the preached word, and just because we don't sit up and take notice, but we act like we are. Can I say this? The Lord's not going to put a check mark next to your name and saying, well, you're a child, you're doing what I'm telling you because you showed up. Friend, we got to give the more earnest heed to the things which we hear listed. Anytime we let them slip, and he called Simon's name out twice. He said, Simon, listen to me. This is important. And the first thing he says, he calls out the adversary's name. You're a fool if you don't know there's an adversary in your life. And can I say, it's not the person sitting next to you in the pew. Can I say, it's not the preacher who's your adversary. It's not the deacon who's the adversary. It's not the Sunday school teacher or the youth pastor or the trustee or whoever the person is or the lay member. It doesn't matter what the title is. They're not your adversary. But there's one who is your adversary. Somebody, if anybody knows what I'm preaching about, please say amen. Can I say this? I don't need you to say amen if you don't believe. If you don't believe it, don't say amen. You'd be lying. But if you agree and amen, say amen right there. The Bible does tell us about our adversary. We have an adversary. There is an adversary that comes against us. There's an adversary that comes against us and tries to get a hold of us. And the Lord identifies who the adversary is. It's Satan. Satan is dead on real. As much as Jesus is real, the devil is real. And let me give you a dose of information from the oldest unto the youngest, to the teenager, to the person who's real spry in their strength, and the ones who might be nigh unto their crossing. The Bible says in John chapter number 10, I do believe it's verse number 10, the thief cometh. That's the devil. He's the father of all nastiness. The Bible says he cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. May I say this? The Bible also says that that thief is not only the one who comes and steals and kills and comes to destroy, but the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse number 14, he says, and no marvel. He says, don't act like you did not know. Don't act like you don't understand. He says, don't marvel that the devil manifests himself as an angel of light. We always try to say the drug dealer is the devil. We try to say the murderer is the devil. That's not the devil. That's a demon that lives inside of him. But my Bible tells me, in the Bible you're holding in your lap, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, the great red dragon. The Bible says he manifests himself as an angel of light. If you'll have it, he's the preacher who's preaching the false doctrine on the pulpit of the place that call themselves churches. He's the fake and phony who has the facade, who says he's out there to help them out. May I say this, you got people and you may have friends who says they love you and they'll stick through you through thick and thin. But friend, the Bible only proves there's only one friend that sticks closer than a brother, and his name's Jesus Christ. I know some people may not like this, but friend, if you can't put the Lord's a name attached to it, if you can't glorify God in it, if you can't say God's called me and wanted me to do this, friend, you ought to put it down and get away from it. And if the people don't understand that's a part of it, get yourself away from them. Talking to a teenage girl, their parents yesterday, Brother James, and they was in some kind of sports things or some kind of after-school activities, and they loved that thing, and they're no longer going to do it. And I asked why they wasn't no longer going to do it. They said the crowd has infiltrated the thing that they did, and all they want to push is a homosexual agenda, want to push an anti-God agenda, want to push a sin agenda. And the first person they went after wasn't the instructor. It wasn't the person who was good at the talent, but he went after the one who was the believer in Jesus Christ. Began to call them names and make fun of them. That person loved the thing that they did, but they realized it's not what they was doing what makes the relationship close with God. It's what they do every single day of the week with their ears are open and listening to what Jesus has to say. Friend, I'm telling you, the world has nothing to offer you to bring you peace and joy and comfort. My friend, Jesus is the one who knows. And he identifies the enemy. His name is Satan. His name is Satan. There's a preacher down in Louisiana, and I'll call his name out, Jesse Duplantis. He's asking his congregation for his fourth jet, for them to pay for his fourth jet. Fourth jet. Y'all hearing this preacher? You ought not to say that, preacher. That's why God called me and not you, because I'll say it. This jackleg is asking his congregation for $7.5 million for his jet so he can spread the gospel. Friend, I don't know about anybody else. I don't know where he's at in Louisiana, but Baton Rouge and New Orleans ain't flying distance away. He can travel there. And when Hurricane Katrina hit, we saw all kind of debauchery and all kind of debauchery, all kinds of nasty things that the human person would do. Friend, he didn't need to fly across the country. He had an own harvest and an own field in his backyard. Hey, if he wants to go to somewhere else, that's fine. But he didn't need the congregation to foot $7.5 million. Friend, something wrong somewhere when a man's asking for millions and millions of dollars. And you say, preacher, you ought not to say this. I'll say it. That man don't act like him. Don't act like the man of God. He acts like somebody who's manifested himself as an angel of light. Revelation chapter number 12 says he's the adversary. Revelation chapter number 12 says he wants to wage war against the mother and against her children. It gives the physical application. The great red dragon come up against the woman who had the moon and the stars surrounding her. I don't know the specifics above her and below her, and the child that she was ready to bring birth for. It was the manifestation. It was the vision of Jesus Christ and his mother Mary while she carried him. And Herod sought after Jesus to kill him because he did not want him to be a part of the government. May I say this, ever since then, the governments of this world, the people of this world, the rulers of this world have tried to kill the grand old church and then it's come through and by Jesus Christ. But friend, can I say this, aren't you glad that even though he identifies who the adversary is, Brother James, he didn't leave us without a weapon. He didn't leave us without something we can fight back with. It says you've overcome that wicked one with the word of your testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Woo! He identifies the adversary and he gives you the tools to defeat him. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you to sift you as wheat. Y'all listen. Satan gets great pleasure, loves to get a hold of you, would love to sift you. I don't know if any ladies in here still sift flour. Raise your hand if you do. Anybody still sift flour? April, you're raising your hand. I remember my granny and my mom used to sift that flour, get that old, that looked like it was an oil can. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? My dad used to have an oil can, a great big old thing like that, and she'd put flour in that thing, and I'm sitting there thinking, Lord of mercy, I'm glad I ain't that sifter thing. Some had the hand cranks. Y'all remember the hand crank ones? But I found out it wasn't the pounding, Brother Jason, that was going to be the problem. It was that little bitty screen that everything had to sift through. Y'all hearing the preacher? And I want to say this to every born-again baptized believer. You listen to this and listen to this real close. Satan has a desire to have you That means he gets pleasure off your pain. He gets pleasure off your misery. He gets pleasure off you feeling depressed. He gets pleasure off you being mad. He gets pleasure off you feeling hatred. He gets pleasure off you feeling bitter. You know why he gets pleasure on it? Because if he can shut your mouth for 1 second to brag about Jesus, that he's accomplished his thing. He can't stop you from going to heaven. He can't keep you from going to glory, Brother James. But if he can keep you to keep your mouth shut, if he can get you to be in a place where he can sift you as wheat, have you, put you in his trophy case, then friend, he's not worried about you. He's worried about the ones you're supposed to be a-talking to, spreading the gospel to. He said, Satan desires to have you, Simon. I think if we was to ask any of these single men, especially these young boys, you had some drop-dead gorgeous woman desiring to be their wives, oh, they would be all about it, wouldn't they, Brother James? Some of you single gals, I know some of them gets picked on from things from the past. Some of these single gals, teenagers and women in here. I mean, only one I know, y'all kind of help me. I'm dating myself. Fabio shows up with that flowing lock and hair. Fabio's probably 150 years old, but that's the only one I can remember. Don't watch TV too much no more. But I mean, The appeal of the eye is what Satan tries to do to have you. And if he can snare you, he wants to get you. It's his desire to have you. If you don't realize just how good you've got it, if you get to wake up every morning, you better thank God that Satan didn't come get you in the middle of the night. And secondly, you better be praying all day long he don't get you during the day. Preacher said, I don't think you like that boogeyman doctrine. He ain't the boogeyman, he's the devil. He's Lucifer. He's got a name, he's Satan. And he's just as real as Jesus did. Y'all still with the preacher? Say amen, please. Bible says he identifies two things. He identifies who Satan is, and he identifies what Satan's intentions are. He gets pleasure from your pain, as I said, and he gets pleasure from sifting you. But notice this, he also tells Peter in verse number 34, he lets Peter know of his failure, what he's going to do. He says, I tell thee, Peter, in verse number 34, that the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Can I say this? He lets Peter know to his face, and he tells Peter in front of everybody. Y'all hear me, preacher? You read with me? He lets Peter know you're going to fail, and he tells it to his face, and he tells it in front of everybody. We're living in a day and time, Brother Ben, where nobody wants to be called out on the carpet. It makes them uncomfortable. I'm the first person to say, put my name at the top of the list. It's uncomfortable for me to be called on the carpet. But can I say this, Paul? The Lord's calling you on the carpet. He called me on the carpet. He's calling us all on the carpet. He says, you're going to fail. You're going to fail. Why would the Lord call me if I'm going to fail? Why would the Lord use me? Why would the Lord use me if I'm going to fail? Because Peter stepped up and said, Lord, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Y'all still with the preacher? Here's the part where it gets kind of rough. Peter says he's ready to go. Some of you say you're ready for some things. You ain't ready not one bit. You ain't ready. You said, preacher, how can you say that? Because you can look and see by the actions of believers throughout this country. And I can't see what's going on outside of South Lebanon and Blanchester area. But I had to look in my own mirror, Brother Byram, and I looked and said, I'm not ready. I think that I am. I'll beat my chest like I am. But when the hard things come, I'm the first one who wilts. I deny him. Oh, preacher, I'm ready to preach. No, you're not. No, you're not. Heard a man give testimony. He said, I wrestled with the Lord 2 weeks before my first message. I sat there and said, man, bless God, I wish I had 2 weeks. I didn't get 2 weeks. I got 4 days, Sister Amy. I announced my call on a Wednesday night. My pastor said, you're preaching Sunday morning. You should have seen the congregation going, you're going to let that young, loudmouth, brash, obnoxious new convert preach on Sunday morning. And I still remember the first message I preached. I mean, I lit them up. I let them have it for the 5 minutes of everything that I studied for 3 or 4 days. I let them have, we're living in perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. I mean, I went full bore. I thought I lasted for like 45 minutes. I lasted 5. I thought I was ready. I wasn't ready. But I had to be willing. And had to be available. Peter got all full of himself and all brash like we all do. Don't say you don't. We do. We think we're ready for A, B, and C. We're not. What we have to be willing to do is open up our heart and say, Lord, send me, because he knows what to do, when to do it. Can I say this? It's hard sometimes to realize. It may be hard right now. You might be mad at me when I say you're not ready. You may be mad at James because he says we're not doing nothing to help these other people out. Somebody might say, well, preacher, that's North Korea. That's their business. No, friend, it's ours. Hey, somebody says, well, preacher, how can we help them? Well, I know we've helped two countries. One, for a fact, we got told we've helped print millions of Bibles. Millions of Bibles. The money shouldn't just be put in the plate. You need to put, a prayer over that money and say, Lord, let this save somebody's soul. Right? But we think we're ready for this, we're ready for that, and we're not. And he tells Peter, he said, Peter, you're not ready for it, because as soon as the rubber meets the road, you'll deny me. You will deny me. I wonder how many of us has denied the Lord the last couple days. I wonder how many of us has denied the Lord the last couple weeks. You say, preacher, I never stood up and told somebody I didn't know him. Well, Peter stood up, and we'll find out in the scriptures here in a minute, well, Peter did stand up and know him. But friend, can I say this? What's the old adage that we have today? A picture means a thousand words. Actions speak louder than words. John says, don't tell me you love me, but John says, show me you love me. He says, don't tell me about your faith, show me your faith. Y'all still with the preacher? Don't hang your head, don't hang your head. We got to take some medicine. I've been taking mine for the last couple days, and I got the big shot this morning. And I didn't like, I'll be honest, brother, I didn't like what you had to sing. I didn't like it. It bothered me. It bothered me deep down in my heart. God called me on the carpet. I didn't like hearing from Brother James. I'm sitting there crying because we're singing I'm on the winning side, and I felt like a failure. I couldn't rejoice in being on the winning side. But you know what? I'm not going to sit there and eat the mully grubs, hang my head. There's only one thing I can do. The only one thing I can do is throw myself on the mercy of the Lord, Brother Jeff, and say, Lord, please forgive me. Don't think I'm going to leave you there. And if you've got, I know some folks has got medical problems. If you got to go, you ain't going to bother me. But it do some good for those who ain't got no medical problems and you ain't got to go to the bathroom. Just buckle your seatbelt and listen to what the Lord has to say. Can I say this? You're going to fail him. You're going to deny him. You're going to come short. You think you're ready for A, B, and C, and you're not. No, you're not ready for A, B, and C because you're not doing the things that get you ready. You're not doing the things that get you ready. Can I say, we let a lot of things get in our way. We let things of the world get in our way. We let things of this, of our lives just stand in the way. And we think, as long as we take 5 or 10 minutes and say a 5-minute prayer, that God will be pleased. Can I say this? I think God's pleased anytime he hears this. But can I say, you know what God wants to see and hear? A life, not just 5 minutes, given unto the Lord. And may I say, the life given unto the Lord is not just coming to church. The life given unto the Lord is doing something with your life and letting him do it through you. Y'all with the preacher? Justin, I fail him. I admit it. Preacher, pastor, husband, dad, I fail. I wonder how many people would be willing to stand up and say, preacher, I don't fail. I don't ever fail, preacher. We all fail. But can I say this? He didn't leave us in our failures. Because in verse number 32, this is Jesus, the all-knowing Lord. He knows everything. We preached last Sunday. He knows. He knows. He knows your heart. And he knew Peter's heart. But do you know what he done for Peter? Even though he knew he was going to deny him, he said, Peter, I've prayed for thee. I prayed for thee. The Lord prayed for thee. Y'all with the preacher? I mean, if you ain't getting nothing else out of it, I know I am. He said, I prayed for thee. I like what it says in Romans chapter number 8, verse number 34. He's that intercessor who ever liveth to make intercession for you and I. And Brother James, I'll admit a fault. I've always took it on face value that every time I prayed, that Jesus is up there ringing my bell saying, God the Father. He said, here's Jason. He's come to you. He's coming to pray. I died for him. Y'all like that? Say amen. He's ringing that bell saying, hey, this is the one that I died for. This is the one not only accepted me but received me. And I accepted him and received him or her. Hey, this is the one that's been praying. But oh God, help me, I failed at understanding that scripture. He doesn't just ring the bell and say this is the one's praying. The Bible says he's making intercession. That means he's not keeping quiet. That means when you're in the darkest and dumpest of places, when you're discouraged and depressed, when you're about to get sifted as wheat and Satan's about to put his hands upon your life, he says, I prayed for thee. He says, Peter, I know you're going to fail. Peter, I know Satan's going to come get you, but I prayed for thee. Y'all hearing the preacher? I don't know if anybody else has ever felt the clutches of Satan get a hold of your life. I mean, can I say something? I want to ask you something. I ask you to pray for the Cornett family. The Cornett family, there's a man by the name of Cornett who died doing work from his home, a police officer. who died doing police work, suffered a major heart attack. That man done something for my family that nobody understands it could ever done. Can I say this? When the devil had a hold of my life, had a hold of my family, I'm glad I was not alone. But the Savior was making intercession for me. Oh, I said, thrill you today to know this, that though you may fail and though you may come short, the Savior still prays for you. Failure, I heard a message, I heard the title of a message, and I have never listened to it. But I love the title. It says, failure is not final. Failure is not final. The Lord prayed for Peter. He said, Peter, I know you're going to deny me. Peter said, I ain't going to deny you. He even told me another scripture, because I'm not going to deny you. Peter denied him. Peter denied him. I'm so glad that the Lord maketh intercession for us. Can I say this? Peter's faith did not fail. Peter failed. How many of us has failed, but the faith never has? How many times, Brother James, do I have to say this and you say this? I've heard Brother Eddie say this too. I have to come to this altar. I go to the altar at my house, Brother Ben. I got to say, God, please forgive me. And can I say, I'm glad he's there to respond every single time and say, I forgive you, I forgive you, I forgive you. He picks me up. He dusts the stuff off my body. He picks me up and puts me upon my feet. Y'all with the preacher? I mean, it's going to get better. It's going to get the script. The message is even going to get better. But can I say this? Peter's faith didn't fail. Peter failed. You said, preacher, don't make much sense. Think about this. If our faith fails, then we're doomed. The Bible says you're saved by grace through what? You're saved by grace through what? The Bible says faith is now. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So many people don't realize it. And I've said this, and I think some people look at me like I'm crazy. But and when I say this, you don't need no more faith. You don't. We put our faith in the wrong things. We put our faith in the wrong things. Some of you put your faith in the preacher. The Bible says it's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. Can I say this? You should have confidence in a man. Somebody say amen right there. There's some people, there's some men I don't have confidence in. There's some I don't. But I can know I can always trust the Lord. My faith is never to go into a man, Brother Byron. My faith is to stick focused on the Lord. Too many times people say, well, I want to put my, oh, this church here, we should have confidence in our church. We should have confidence in our preacher. We should have confidence in our pastor. But you put your trust in the Lord. Because when you fail, he's the one who makes the intercession. He prays for you and he helps you. Y'all with the preacher? The Bible says this, that he says that in Romans 8:34, says that he is the intercessor for us. Hey, Peter failed in the application of what he said that he wouldn't do. But I'm glad that the Lord did not leave him alone, but he prayed for him. Notice this, in the same chapter, if you go down to verse number 54, it says, and they took him, and they led him, and brought him unto the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. Notice Peter's already backed up from the Lord. He's following afar off. Can I say this? I love you with all my heart. But some of you who thinks you can be at the end of the line and feel comfortable at the end of the line, you've already got some strikes against you. You're following afar off. And this is what he says in verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. He sat down amongst the people who was against Jesus. If you don't think that the Lord wants to see a separated life, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, where he says, come out from among them and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'm giving you Bible. Please listen to this. And he says in verse number 56, it said, but a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. Strike number one. Verse number 58, and says, and after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. Strike number two. And about the space of 1 hour, After another confidently affirmed saying of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And he immediately, while he yet spake, the cock threw. What happens on strike three in baseball? You're out. If you'll have it, that rooster was an umpire. Called the third strike. That rooster preached a message. And he preached it right smack dab to Peter. Notice what it says in the next verse. Verse number 61. And I challenge you this. If you come back tonight, we'll pick up the rest of this message tonight. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord. How that he said unto him before the cock crow, Thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. As soon as he denied the Lord looked at him. And Peter wept bitterly. Can I say this? Somebody says, well, Peter, why do you say that Peter's faith didn't fail, but his flesh failed? Because I'll say this, our flesh will always fail us. If Peter's faith failed, the Lord wouldn't have looked at him. If Peter's faith failed, he wouldn't have wept bitterly. If Peter's faith failed, he wouldn't remember what the Lord had to say. You said, preacher, how can a man be used? We find out what happens with Peter. Peter doesn't stay in a bad state. But can I say we're all like Peter? You said, preacher, how come Peter's faith didn't fail? Because the Bible says in Proverbs, I do believe it's chapter number 16, it says, a just man falleth seven times and get back up. A just man falleth seven times and get back up. David fell. Peter fell. All of us has fallen. Is everybody still with the preacher? They said, How come Peter fell but not his faith? Because the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. That's how he can get himself right back up. He didn't give the more earnest heed to the thing that he had heard, so he slipped and he fell. Can I say this today? Peter didn't fall because of his faith. His faith didn't fail him, but he failed because his flesh failed him. He thought he was ready and he wasn't ready. He thought he could do exactly what God wanted him to do. But better yet, let me rephrase that. He didn't do exactly what God wanted him to do. He did exactly what he wanted to do. And may I say this, every time you do things outside the will of the Lord, you will fail. You will fail. I'm not throwing this out. I'm just throwing this out because the Lord's saying to preach it. If you think that you're going to be a preacher, you will not be. If you think you'll be a deacon, you will not be. If you think you'll be a singer, you will not be. If you think you'll be a Sunday school teacher, you will not be. What do you need to do? You need to humble yourself and submit yourself under the mighty hand of the Lord and let him use you. It don't matter if you sit in the pew and don't have a title, but you'll never do nothing on your own. You have to do what the Lord has you to do. So many people is running in a circle and paddling in a circle, and they can't get around out from around the mountain. They keep marching around the mountain like the children of Israel done because they cannot do, seem to fathom in their heart to do what God wants them to do. They want to do what they want to do. And you have victory, your flesh will always fail. I'll say this. He told Peter that how I know Peter's faith wouldn't fail him because he told him in verse number 32, he said, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail thee not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know that Peter's faith was going to fail. But he knew Peter would stand back up again because he prayed. He said, Peter, and I know. He says, I'm praying for you to strengthen the brethren. Amy, I think it's great to know that even though I fail, the Lord still prays for me and says, Jason, I already know what you're going to be doing, and I'm praying for you to carry on. Here he told Peter, you're going to strengthen the brethren. Y'all still with me? Some of you, I'm about to lose you. He strengthened the brethren, and he told Peter that he would. And he told Peter later on in the scriptures and when he rose from the grave for him, he said, go tell Peter that I'm alive. Go tell Peter I'm alive. Because the last that Peter sees the Lord before he's on the cross is in that judgment hall. I don't think it was a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences. I think the Lord sent a message to Peter to let him know that he was alive. Because Peter was told, the day that you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my fathers and his angels. Peter was worried. The Lord sent him comfort. But can I say, Peter's faith didn't fail. His flesh failed. So what do we do? The Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. First, I need to remind everybody your faith is victorious. The faith that you have in the Lord is victorious. The faith that you have says in 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Though we may fail, our faith will not fail. If your faith is centered and focused upon the Lord, there's always victory to come, even in trusting in God. Somebody said, preacher, what do you get? I wonder if mom and dad of that boy named Ethan did not trust the Lord and didn't do anything. I tell you this, if I had a boy who had cancer, Brother James, that's the only hope I got is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Can I say this? The faith that God gives us, it is a victorious faith. It not only overcomes our problems, but it's the faith that overcomes the world. Got problems, God's got the answer. Situation, God's got the answer. You got a circumstance in life that you can't figure out, God's got the answer. You got kids that are unruly, God's got the answer. You got spouses that won't get along, God's got the answer. You got a home in disarray, God's got the answer. You got job problems, God's got the answer. It's the faith that overcomes the world. It's the faith God gave us. Secondly, our faith is to walk by it, not by sight. Stop trusting in things that you see. I wasn't making a joke, but there's several people who believe in certain things when they see things. And somebody sent me a picture of it through Messenger. I got kind of a chuckle out of it. But can I say, most of our Baptist people walk by sight and not by faith. If they can't see it, if they can't hear it, they don't believe it. But friends, you've never seen Jesus at any time. You never heard him speak like he spoke to Peter, James, and John at any time, but yet we're still supposed to believe in him. I'm glad I believe in him, and my faith is still we are to walk by faith and not by sight. Our faith is to be a persistent faith, a faith that will cause you to keep on moving, and it's the faith that causes the just man to get right back up. Thirdly, our faith is focused. When it is focused, that's how the victory is overwhelming. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 5. It says that our faith should be in the power of God, not in the wisdom of man. It's not the size of our faith. It's not the size of our faith. It's not the how much that we know. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, that if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you can say this mountain be thou removed. It's not the size of your faith. It's what you got your faith in. I wonder how many of us has got our faith in the Lord. You said, preacher, it's kind of a weird way. If we're saved, our faith is in the Lord. No, I'm talking about for everyday life, the walk. Because James called out something that's very scary. He says, if you believe in the Lord, he says, you doeth well, but the devils believe and they tremble. It's the faith that the Lord gave us that makes the difference. Everybody's been given a measure of faith, but Paul says not everybody has saving faith. Y'all with the preacher? And saving faith is something that not only changes the life, but it keeps you walking in a direction, even though when your flesh falls and falters, the faith is still there. Peter was a man that always got picked on. Peter's a man who always gets put up, and Peter always gets beat up. But can I say, for the most part, Peter is who we would have to identify with. You know, if Peter was told by Jesus, he said, you'll be the one who strengthens the brethren. And can I say this, in our realm, if Peter was here and Peter failed, Peter wouldn't be preaching again, would he? Peter wouldn't be allowed to strengthen the brethren, would he? If Peter failed like he did, Peter would be kicked out, excluded, run off, blackballed, wouldn't be able to be around because he failed. But I'm glad failure's not final. And our faith don't fail. When Peter was told to come out on the sea, the Lord didn't ask him onto the water. Peter told the Lord, he said, if you be the Lord, bid me to come out on the water. Peter thought he was ready. He got out on the water and he began to walk. But what happened when the wind blew? What happened when the waves got high? What happened when the rain beat? Brother John, he put his eyes on the waves and on the rain and off the Lord, and he sank. Sister Tina, I've met many of people who have been shipwrecked upon the rocks, on the seas of life, because they took their eyes off the captain and put their eyes upon the sea. Friend, you didn't fail. Your faith didn't fail. This flesh fails. I wonder how many here is truly doing and following what the Lord has them to do. I wonder if you've been minding the Lord and following in His steps. I wonder if you've truly been trusting in Him. And can I say this? If you haven't, you better get to an altar. get to an altar and ask God to help you, to pick you up and dust you off and set you upon your feet. I wonder today if anybody's heard what the Lord's been saying all service long, not just this preacher. Brother Millard said a mouthful. Brother James said a mouthful. The youth group sang a mouthful. What's in your heart? Brother Paul, get us a song if you would.